At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
That it was me this week.
I was gonna say, speak the hell up, Rose.
Holy shit. I'm sorry. Oh my god. As you can see, I am like totally killing it. Yeah, come on.
That's one word for it.
Oh, come on. That was amazing. Oh shit. All right. What's up, bros? I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Caleb.
And we're a couple of bros on a mission to give you guys the most detailed movie reviews out there with as little bias as possible. Welcome to the All Bros. This week on the podcast, we got one item with 4K Spotlight, a movie that I was surprised at, considering that I did not like the first one whatsoever. But we'll get into that. And then we got nothing for Through the Wall. So after that, we'll be jumping into our headliner, which will be our breakdown of Transformers of the Beasts.
I say let's do it.
Need motivation? Angry Dad Podcast. Trying to jumpstart your life? Angry Dad Podcast. You want help getting off the couch? Angry Dad Podcast. You need a verbal kick in the ass? Angry Dad Podcast. You want to hear from somebody who's been through it all? Angry Dad Podcast. I am here for you. You can find me on all podcast platforms.
All right, so jumping into 4K Spotlight, we got one movie coming out this week, and that would be Avatar, The Way of Water. Like I said, I enjoyed this one way more than I did the first one. I was not a fan whatsoever, honestly. Okay, that's maybe being a little too harsh. Like, don't get me wrong, the graphics were incredible, everything like that. But I just didn't give a shit, really, about the characters. I do not like the character of Jake Sully. Like, you have no idea how glad I am that his kids are more so the focus in this movie than he is. Because I actually enjoy his kids. His kids are actually good characters. But yeah, so anyway, with this, so I'm going to actually start off. So first off, the first Avatar is coming to 4K on the same day. It's not getting a steelbook or anything. It's just getting a regular 4K release. But I have to admit, this is some pretty cool artwork.
That is some pretty bitchin' artwork. Like, okay, say what you will about the Avatar movies. Visuals, they kill it with visuals. Like, there's no arguing that. Yeah, I mean, even me, who's a freaking Avatar hater, like, I can't argue that the Avatar visuals are amazing. It's a movie that's absolute shit.
I don't know. You might like The Way of Water. You might, man.
I'm so freaking bitter at James Cameron for what he did.
Oh, dude, I am too. Dude, I am too. But, like I kind of hated that I enjoyed Avatar 2 as much as I did. But at the same time, I'm like, it's a really damn good sequel. And I enjoyed it way more than the first one.
That's the worst. I freaking hate when that happens.
I know, right? It's like you want to hate something, but you're just like, I can't because it's actually good.
Dude, that's how I feel with freaking Scorsese. Like, all his, like, Marvel-hating stuff. Like, I've watched a movie before him and, like, not even realized that it was his. But I forget what movie it was, but I was watching it. I'm like, damn, that was, like, a really good movie. And then it showed Martin Scorsese, and I'm like, damn it!
Son of a bitch!
I hate when that happens, dude.
I get it. dude, I get it. But yeah, so that's just the... Wow. That's the Avatar 4K release that's coming out. The only thing that I don't like about this is it's a white slipcover, and I don't love white slipcovers because they get dirty so damn fast. But it is pretty damn cool. Will I pick it up? I don't know. We'll see. I plan on picking up the second one on 4K. I don't know. All right. Sorry. I don't know about the first one. But anyway, starting off with Avatar The Way of Water. First up, we got the Best Buy exclusive steelbook, which, shocking to, I'm sure, a lot of people out there, I will not be picking up the steelbook because I actually like the 4K art better.
I'll give you that. This is kind of not good.
Right? This proves how much I do not like his character. I biggest reason why I won't be picking this up is Jake Sully is front and center. I hate his character. I don't know what it is. I hate his character. So that's the Best Buy exclusive steelbook. Next up, we got just the regular Blu-ray, which was just the, you know, theatrical release poster. It's the whole floating... So someone pointed this out, and I want your opinion. How do you feel about the whole floating head poster thing?
It depends on the movie.
That's fair. Okay, so let's compare this to how the Super Mario Bros. Movie did it, because they also did a floating head poster. Thoughts, which is better?
I am going to say Mario. And it's because it's kind of like, because they build a shape where... Like, it's kind of like a diamond with their characters.
Good point.
Yeah, where they have Bowser at the top, and then it's like Peach, then Mario, Luigi, and they kind of like work themselves down to smaller and smaller characters.
Actually, flip-flop that. Sorry, it goes Bowser, then Mario, Luigi, then Peach.
Okay, sure. Whatever the case may be, it's like, it's
come
diamond.
Come on, man.
It's diamond-shaped.
Yeah.
I like that, because Avengers Endgame did that. With their poster.
Didn't Infinity War do that too?
I'm pretty sure Infinity War did too. But I mean, that this is an episode all on its own, talking about freaking covers and posters, dude. But yeah, like I like when it's building a shape where, unlike this, everyone's kind of like just, I mean, it kind of gives it away. Like, if you look at the cover, like, it has the major thing of it being a circle. And I don't like it as much. The floating head thing, I think, is just overdone in general. But I think they needed to do something like specifically for the cover art on this. That wasn't... This looked like it was just screenshots taken from the movie and just kind of like blended together.
Fair enough.
Like, it doesn't show any sort of like considerable effort. Where a lot of, like, the John Wick ones, though, like, from last week, those looked like they had, like, considerable effort put into them.
Dude, speaking of John Wick, apparently, so Lionsgate decided to pull a fast one, and they actually, or maybe it was just Best Buy, I don't know. I don't know the full story, but someone released John Wick Chapter 4, instead of releasing it on Tuesday, they released it on Saturday. So, literally, when a lot of people went to go get the Best Buy Steelbook on Tuesday, it was already sold out. Couldn't find it anywhere. I know, right? That's some bullshit. Like, that's come on, at least let people know. I don't know if that was the case with every store. It might have been, because when I went out into the stores on Tuesday, they had the Blu-ray exclusive of John Wick at Walmart, but they didn't have the 4K. Which actually, we didn't point this out, and I didn't even notice. They weren't actually slipcovers. Those were also steelbooks.
Really?
So that made them even freaking cooler. I didn't buy it, because, you know, if I ever do decide to get the John Wick movies, I want them in a whole damn collection.
Right.
So, but yeah, that was kind of bullshit with Lionsgate. Like, come on, guys.
Yeah, that sucks.
Next up, exclusive-wise, it's the exact same Blu-ray cover, but now it's a Walmart exclusive that is the 4K version of it.
Dude, how lazy.
But it's lenticular. But it's lenticular. You gotta remember that. It's lenticular.
What's lenticular mean?
It's like 3D. Like 3D effect.
Who cares?
I do. I freaking love lenticular slipcovers. I don't care about really? This one.
Oh, the slipcover I thought you meant like the cover was.
Oh, no, the slipcover. Okay. Like the
slipcover, like the front. I'll give you that. Those 3D covers are pretty cool. Dude, but how freaking lazy can you get? All you did was change the bottom picture. Like, instead of it being like true. A full like water dragon, whatever the hell those things are.
So it's like, that's one of Jake's sons flying on whatever the hell that thing is.
Yeah, so basically the water dragonfly.
The water dragonfly?
Yeah, and then this bullshit. It's the same background picture, just different whatever the hell that like water creature that is. Dude, that's such bullshit. I hate that.
Oh, man. So Caleb will not be picking up this version.
No, you're lucky if you even watch the movie.
Okay, speaking of, no offense, man, but you are not that great at adding digital codes to your collection.
I know, I haven't done it in a hot minute. I need to get on it.
No offense. I love you to death, man, but like sometimes I'm like too lazy to like open up a Blu-ray and put it in, so I'm like, oh, you know, like I know it gave Caleb the voodoo code for it, so let me just watch it there. It's not even on there. I gave it to him months ago.
I know. I'm gonna, once I get done editing and everything tomorrow, I'll go in and like just pound through them.
You don't have to. I'm just giving you shit, man. Honestly, it benefits you more than it does me, of course.
Fair.
But after this, I already showed that. We got the Blu-ray 3D version of Avatar The Way of Water.
Better.
Yes, I don't plan on picking up this version because Jake Sully is front and center and I don't give a shit about him.
Is this artwork or is that picture?
What do you mean?
Is that a picture of him or is that like art?
I think that's a picture of him.
Okay. That's lame.
I mean, it could be art. That's lame.
Yeah. If it was artwork, like I think that would be a lot better. Like it looks cool. Like especially for like the 3D kind of offering that 3D effect, like making it look like it's coming out of the thing, like it's cool.
Yeah.
But meh.
All right, fair enough. I think yes. I actually really like this cover art. I don't know why. I mean, it's probably because, you know, Jake Sully is nowhere to be found on the cover.
That one's dumb, too. I got it.
Really? I actually really like this one. I like that it's his two sons and then the love interest for one of his sons. It's really sad that I don't know these names, but whatever. So I don't know if I'm going to pick it up on release day, but when I do inevitably pick up Avatar The Way of Water, I definitely want to pick up.
Fair enough.
Even though Caleb thinks it's stupid, I like
it. It's
I will admit stupid. It is very.
It's plain.
I've just never. No, and that's fair. I've just never seen a movie release being like, oh, we're going to make like the whole slipcover blue, but then like have a little screenshot. I don't know why I'm using my finger. we're going to have the whole background blue, but then right in the middle, we're going to have a screenshot from the movie. It kind of looks out of place, right?
It looks very much out of place.
But I guess, you know, James Cameron's going to James Cameron, so.
Dude, for real. For freaking real.
But yeah, so that is it for 4K Spotlight. If you guys are planning on picking up Avatar The Way of Water, that's what you got. So, yeah.
Cool.
Like,
you're heading this one up, dude.
Sorry, man. Jesus. God, I suck. Well, Caleb, what do you say we move on to our headliner of the evening?
Let's do it.
All right, so before we get into our headliner, which is our breakdown of Transformers Rise of the Beasts, we asked a question of the week on our social media, and I believe that
Caleb did. Yeah, we got a few answers. All right, so for those of you that don't know, on social media, mainly TikTok and Instagram, and occasionally YouTube, we post a question of the week. And that is related to this movie in some way, shape, or form. And so this week, the question that we asked in...
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free. Select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then add the final touch with two for $8 on select 2.5 or 3 quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 9-3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
In regards to Transformers Rise of the Beasts, we asked, what animal would you like to see a Transformers version of? And we got a few responses. So Rose and I are going to pick our top five and read those. And we have a significant amount of these to pick from.
Yes, like we over do.
On TikTok alone, we have 594 answers.
God damn.
Yeah, no shit. We got more comments than we did freaking likes on that, and that's like unheard of for us.
Yeah, 617 comments. God damn.
So, yeah. We did get one over on Instagram that I'm got in my top 10, so...
I just like finally found my number one, and I'm just like, yes.
All right. So let's start off with our number fives.
Sure. Just because it's like simple, but like I'd be very interested to see it. A turtle. And that, because someone said a tortoise and then someone else said a turtle, but I'm just going to go with a turtle. And the turtle was... put in by insider_826.
Dude, that'd actually be pretty badass, especially like once he transformed, like if the shell comes off and he uses it as a shield.
Oh, dude.
That'd be damn, bitching. Man.
Don't give Hasbro any ideas for their next Transformers line.
Yeah, no joke. Yeah, my number five is from a Travis Smith on Instagram. He's Trungo23. He said, I'd like another Dinobot based on a Spinosaurus.
Ooh, yeah. That'd be super cool.
That'd be badass. That'd be super badass, dude. Yeah, I freaking love that idea. Like, especially, like, I always try to imagine, like, what this would look like, if they were Transformers. But what I would imagine is, like, when the Spinosaurus transforms, is that the tail turns into, like, a flail.
Ooh, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's good.
I think that'd be bitching.
That really would be.
All right, what's your next one?
Number four for me, coming from, I'm going to butcher your name, I'm sorry, Ismail Ajata 15, and they said, I want a Velociraptor.
That'd be pretty bitching.
Yeah, I can definitely agree with that.
All right, my number four, and this one's just because it made me kind of laugh at the thought of it, is from Blue Cat Ninja Clan, who said platypus.
Yes.
And the reason...
Please tell me he gets a hat.
Dude, that would be freaking hilarious to see a Transformer. Like, the reason it made me laugh and the reason it got into my top five is because what I imagine is, like, a Phineas and Ferb situation with, like, Dr. Doofenshmirtz.
Oh, my God.
Like, Perry the Transforming Platypus.
Oh,
Dude, you know that if Phineas and Ferb was still going and Disney had the rights to Transformers, yeah, that whole special would have already happened.
Oh, straight up, dude.
Like, they could have made that a whole damn movie, I feel, with how, you know, innovative Phineas and Ferb are. So, like, when it comes to, like, a franchise, it would have made sense to just make Transformers and Phineas and Ferb, like, a freaking full-length movie. That could be the third Phineas and Ferb movie. There you go.
That'd be awesome. All right, what's your number three?
Number three, it's coming from God of the Dark Universe, a buffalo.
That would be pretty sick.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I like that one a lot. All right, mine's from JuiceWorld999, who said a snake.
Classic. I could definitely see it.
Like,
that'd be terrifying.
I know. Like, I imagine it being like a Decepticon, but like, I think that'd be badass, dude.
Yeah, dude, that really would.
Like, I think that looks so freaking scary. Like, just, like, a giant-ass freaking snake.
Yeah.
Alright, what's your number two?
Number two for me is coming from Lunar, and they said a Tasmanian devil.
That would be pretty good.
Right? That'd be super, super...
I just had my number two. Lost it.
Damn. Don't you hate that?
Yeah. I mean, we've gotten a few repeats, like a platypus, a wolf, shark, tiger. All right, here's one. Or that I really liked. It wasn't the other one, but it's another good one. It's from GamerCrafter 2007, who said a hedgehog.
Ooh, that's a really good one.
Yeah, like I could imagine that being like an Autobot, and then
yeah.
Like one that like has spikes on his back, and then like when he transforms into like goes hit when he does his hedgehog form, he like curls into a ball, and just all the spikes like shoot out.
Like, bro, I think that'd be that would look so cool. Yeah, dude, that would look so badass.
All right,
Number one for sorry,
yeah, you're number one.
Number one for me is coming from Quick Switch. This will just be such a cool ass mashup. Buffalo version of Bone Crusher, but as a Maximal.
That dude, would be pretty cool.
Dude, bring in Bone Crusher to anything and I'm in. I freaking hated that he died so fast in the first one. Like, don't get me wrong, the way that Optimus killed him was badass, but still, I freaking hated that he didn't get to be in the final battle. That freaking sucked. So, any way to bring back Bone Crusher, I'm in.
Oh, all right. Oh, okay, I found my number one. It is from Lucius Portillo 310, who said a blue ring octopus.
It is very specific, and I love it.
Dude, I think the idea of an octopus transformer is the shit. Like, agreed. Especially like what you could do with that, like. I would have it be like something like Nebula, like with her arm in Guardians 3.
Ooh, like, yeah.
Have it be something like that, but when they go to punch, like if someone comes and grabs their arm, like his arm like splits into how, like it could split into four pieces, like each arm splits into four, and then he can use those other arms to freaking bushwhack people. Like, I think that'd be the shit.
Dude, that'd be so sick.
And then his octopus form, he's just like a big ass freaking octopus, grabs people and just like flings them. Like, I think that'd be so cool.
Agreed.
Like, yeah, what I imagine,
badass.
What I imagine like happening like in a super cinematic moment is like he's in his transformer form and he like is like running across a building, like chasing down like a helicopter, and then he jumps off, transforms into an octopus, and then just like Kraken hugs the
dude,
helicopter,
yes.
And like takes that shit down. Like,
yeah, that would be pretty badass. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah,
that'd be
definitely
cool.
Not one I ever would have thought of, but
no,
easily
dude,
my favorite.
Either. Yeah, dude. Honestly, let's face it. Some of the Transformers that these people, the other ones that we've gotten throughout the franchise,
dude.
Because most of them suck.
They freaking do suck.
Freaking, I'm just going to throw one out there. Mohawk in I already forgot the name. The Last Knight? Freaking do not call Megatron M-tron. He is Megatron. Leader of the Decepticons. That's what he is. He ain't no M-tron. Don't give a freaking...
You show him some damn respect.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I think that's both of our top fives, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you to everyone that answered our question of the week. We really appreciate it. And then big shout outs to those people that we just called out. Like, you guys had some freaking killer answers. And to anyone else who answered like what they answered, like, there's no way for us to go through damn near 600 comments just to, like, to find out what everyone said. Because there, like I said, there were a lot of repeats.
Yeah.
Lots and lots of repeats. That's okay. Yeah.
That is okay.
So.
But thank you.
Yeah. Everybody. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, let's move on to the main event. That is not what it is. Headliner, goddammit. Headliner of the evening, which our breakdown of Transformers Rise of the Beast. Caleb, would you like to let people know how we break down movies on this podcast?
I would love to. So, if you are new to our breakdown system, we have split movies into 8 different categories that we individually score to come to a final All Bros letter grade. The 8 categories that we score are story, writing, acting, character development, effects, music, costumes, and then we give it our own personal score at the very end. All of those numbers get magically added up and spit through our algorithm and gives us a letter grade to compare this movie to, as well as a percentage that we use to compare this movie to others like within its grade system. The percentage doesn't really matter, but it is kind of fun to see where these rank, and it's fun to piss people off.
Very true.
Yeah. So, if you have not seen Transformers Rise of the Beast, I'm going to say this isn't really one that can get spoiled.
Fair. I can definitely...
Yeah, like, I think everyone kind of has an idea of what Transformers is. It is not very... It's not a very big story. So,
yeah.
Like, spoiler alert, but anyway, if you're not seeing it and you want to avoid spoilers, you don't have to, but yeah. But we will be spoiling the entire freaking movie for you with our favorite segment that we like to call Reading with Rose. 2 E's.
As Caleb always likes to point out. Oh, man.
Yeah, so without further ado, Rose, would you like to read the...
I would love to. So, the homeworld of the Maximals, an advanced race of Cybertronians with beast modes, comes under attack from the planet-eating dark god Unicron. His heralds, the Terrorcons, and an army of Predacons... So many freaking cons, like, goddamn. An army of Predacon scorpions led by... Was it Scourge or Scourge? Do you remember?
I'm pretty sure it was Scourge.
It was Scourge. By Scourge, seek to obtain for their master the Maximals' greatest piece of technology, the Transwarp Key, which can open portals through space and time. The Maximal leader, Appalinx, sure, sacrifices himself to allow the other Maximals to escape the planet before Unicron devours it. Now under the command of Optimus Primal, Maximals use the key to flee to Earth. In 1994, Brooklyn, ex-military electronics expert Noah Diaz struggles to find a job to support his family and is convinced by his friend Reek to steal a Porsche 911 to sell, only to discover that the car is the Autobot Mirage in disguise. Concurrently, museum intern Elena Wallace studies an ancient statue of a falcon bearing the Maximal symbol and accidentally breaks it open to reveal half of the Transwarp Key hidden inside. The key releases an energy pulse that is detected by Optimus Prime, who summons the other Autobots. Mirage is contacted in the middle of Noah's attempted theft, and Noah is roped into the robot's mission to recover the key so they can use it to return to their homeworld, Cybertron. Drawn by the Key's signature, the Terracons arrive on Earth, and Elena is caught up in the conflict when the villains attack the Autobots outside the museum. Scourge deactivates Bumblebee and steals the Key half before the Maximal Eraser arrives and drives him off. Eraser explains to the Autobots that the Maximals have been hiding on Earth for thousands of years and split the Transwarp Key into two to keep it out of Unicron's hands. Despite the danger, Optimus Prime is insistent that the Key be reassembled so the Autobots can use it to return home, while Noah secretly plots to destroy the Key in order. Elena's studies allow her to deduce that the other half of the Key must be located in a hidden temple in Peru, and the group heads out aboard the Rattletrap cargo plane Autobot Stratosphere. In Peru, they meet up with locally stationed Autobot Wheeljack, who leads them to the temple, but it is soon discovered that the other half of the Key is not. The Terracons attack once again, and the battle ends with Scourge corrupting Eraser with Unicron's dark energy. Subsequently, the Autobots meet Optimus Primal and the other Maximals, who explain that they moved the second half of the Key, entrusting it to a human tribe they have worked with over. Scourge's corruption overtakes Eraser, driving her mad, and Primal is forced to kill her to save Elena. In the chaos, Noah attempts to destroy the second half of the Key, but is convinced not to by Optimus, only for it to instead be stolen by Scourge, who then reassembles the two halves atop a volcano, erecting a tower and opening it.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
A portal above Earth through which Unicron will soon arrive. Seeing where their self-serving motives have led them, Optimus Prime and Noah agree to work together to defeat the forces of evil. While the Autobots and Maximals battle the Terracons and Predacons, Noah and Elena sneak in close to the Transwarp Key, planning to deactivate it with an access code Elena has uncovered. In the battle, Mirage is gravely wounded by Scourge, but transforms his damaged body into a powered exosuit for Noah so they can fight together. Seriously, where the hell was that during other Transformers movies, but whatever.
Dude, no shit.
Like, when that freaking first happened, I'm like, bullshit! Like, where the hell was that when, like, Sam was the main character of this franchise? I'm sure he would have loved that shit when it came to some of the final fights that he was in.
Dude, no lie. No lie whatsoever.
The energy pulse released by the Key activates a dormant energon deposit beneath the valley where Bumblebee was kept, which infuses his deactivated body with energon and restores him to life, his revival turning the tide of the battle. Optimus Prime kills Scourge, but not before the latter damages the control console to prevent it from being shut down. Willing to sacrifice himself, Prime destroys the Key and collapses the portal, but Noah and Primal are able to save him from being sucked into the imploding vortex. In the aftermath of the conflict, the Autobots, now without means to return to Cybertron, proclaim Earth as their new home and vow to continue protecting it along with the Maximals. Elena receives recognition for discovering the temple in Peru, while Noah attends an interview for a security job, but finds he is actually being invited to join the secret government organization, G.I. Joe.
That was so dumb.
In a mid-credit scene, Noah manages to repair... In a mid-credit scene, Noah manages to repair... God damn it. Repair Mirage using junk Porsche parts from Reek, who learns that the car is a Transformer.
That ending. It was a lot. Dude, this...
You know, we're trying to keep Transformers alive, but you know what? Let's try to bring another franchise back in. G.I. Joe, everybody, what do you think?
Oh, this is just going to start a freaking Mattel universe.
I mean, I don't know if that can happen considering... there's already a Barbie movie, but it looks like Warner Brothers owns the rights to Barbie. So, they can't have Barbie in it. That sucks. Yeah. Barbie is Mattel.
I'd like to know, or not Mattel, Hasbro.
Oh, yeah, Hasbro, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm freaking dumb.
Oh, dude, but, what else is Hasbro besides Transformers and G.I. Joe?
What else do they make?
Yeah, can you that think of anything great... else up here?
I know Hasbro is like a bunch of different toys. Well, duh, but...
So, no!
So, okay, so they own Power Rangers, it looks like. Mr. Potato Head. My Little Pony.
Well, that's what I want.
Did I say Power Rangers? Yeah, Power Rangers.
Yeah, you did.
They own the toy rights for a lot. Because, I mean, they have Guardians of the Galaxy on here. Dude, if we... What? An MCU crossover with the freaking Transformers would be the bomb.
True. I'm sorry, I don't think it's ever going to happen.
I don't either, but dude, how sick would that be?
That would be so sick, I'm not going to lie. Hey, maybe these movies would actually be good.
Got him. Freaking, let's see, Furbies.
Oh, dude, can we please get a Furby movie?
I want to see if they... yep. They're Thundercats fall under Hasbro.
No shit. That's funny, actually. That's... I kind of love that.
Apparently the... I don't know if this is true. I mean, the Ninja Turtles are under the...
Interesting.
Like, they Hasbro has Ninja Turtle toys. But I don't know if they're, like, part of... So if this is just starting, like, a Hasbro cinematic universe, like, the Power Rangers exist, the G.I. Joe exists... Transformers, the freaking Thundercats,
Ninja Turtles,
the Ninja Turtles, dude. If they go this route and they're just like, fine, we're going all freaking cheesy, I'm 100% here for it. Now the whole G.I. Joe reveal, I am only okay with that reveal. Like, I thought it was cool. I'm only okay with it if they reboot.
Okay.
If this is not a reboot, I don't like it. Because anything that they've done with the G.I. Joe universe has freaking not been good. Like, I won't say it's trash, because, I mean, there is some, like, cool stuff about it. But in terms of it being, trash. Like, no, it's not quite trash. It's trash for G.I. Joe. All
right, fair. I mean, I wouldn't know, because I never watched the show as any of the toys, so... I could give two shits about G.I. Joe. So, yeah, when that was like the ending of the movie, I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, can we make a Transformers movie actually end like a Transformers movie and not set up another franchise? Like, come on.
I mean, this universe has the potential to be really freaking dope if they just go full cheese with it.
I guess we'll see how this movie performs.
Yeah. Like... You mean to tell me that if somewhere down the line it turned into like the Transformers team up with G.I. Joe and then the next movie it sets up that the Power Rangers join the crew, like, you wouldn't watch that?
I'd watch the one that the Power Rangers are in, so I would just skip the second one. Yeah, I'm gonna be that petty.
Fair. I mean, petty's got a petty, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, shit. Anyway, so getting into this story, this, I will say, is one of the better Transformers movies that we've gotten recently.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I will say, like, in, like, the last 10 years, is still the best one.
Easily.
But I feel it's because Bumblebee is not only it's not only a good Transformers movie, it's a good movie in general.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, maybe it's just me because I don't really know a lot about the lore. Like, I never watched the show as a kid, never saw the movie. So anything besides, like, the Autobots and the Decepticons fighting each other, I don't know, just doesn't interest me. So when you bring in... all of these other characters, like the bad guys that aren't Decepticons, I'm just like, yeah, I'm sorry, I don't give a shit. I only really just want to see Optimus and Megatron. Really want to see, like, not saying that they were bad, like, decent villains. Like, definitely, they're better than some of the other bad guys that we've gotten in. Because, like I brought up earlier, freaking Mohawk and Transformers 5. Like, as the movies progressed, the Decepticons literally just became a laughingstock. So, honestly, I get why. You know what? Since this is, what is the freaking when it's a movie that takes place before
prequel,
thank you. Wow, I don't know why I couldn't remember that word. I'm sure when they were deciding how to bring Transformers and for how bad Michael Bay effed up the Decepticons in the fifth, bringing an entirely different bad guy or a species of villain, I guess. With the Terracons, and you know, for them, it worked, but I just missed the Decepticons a little.
Yeah, so I was looking up the origin of the Maximals, mm-hmm. and so what the Maximals are just a line of Transformer toys that were made, called the
Transformers. So they were never in the show?
Not from what I can see, no. They were just a change that Hasbro made to the Transformers line called Beast
Wars. Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah, so they had a bunch of different releases. And, I mean, they had, like, McDonald's toys and other stuff. Just, like, looking at it real quick, it doesn't look like... It started around 96 was the first year that they did the line of Maximals.
Okay. Interesting.
And so so they had Maximals and then Predacons. Yeah, so the Predacons were, I think the Maximals and Predacons were just animal versions of our classic Autobots.
Okay.
Because so Optimus Primal was like, he kind of looked like a bat. Then there was Rat Trap, which kind of has the look of Ratchet. Let's see, Cheetor, Razor Beast, Dinobot, and then the Predacons. There, it's Megatron, Tarantulas, Iguanus, Waspinator, and Pterosaur, which Pterosaur looks like Starscream. So I think these are just like animal versions of like our favorite Transformers.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they have like a bunch of different versions. I'm trying to see if there's... Yeah, they had like a bunch. Like they had some from McDonald's. Let's see, how long did this... So the Beast Wars line ended in 2001.
Huh, okay.
Yeah, at least according to this. Like, just trying to see if it doesn't look like... Yeah, so Optimus Primal has switched around a lot. Like, he originally looked like a bat, and then they... like, his most recent change in 01... Nope, that's not true. In 98, he started looking more like a gorilla.
Interesting.
He shoots missiles out of his butt.
The fuck? Okay.
That's funny.
Alright.
Yeah, so it looks like there is a precedent, but it's more they're following a toy line, not really anything in the show. The show was just straight up Transformers, Autobots versus Decepticons. So Beast Wars is where these guys come from.
Got it.
So it's its own, its own thing.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, which I kind of actually really like.
I'm just eh on it. I guess I'm just basic when it comes to the Transformers franchise. All I wanted to see is just Autobots versus...
You know what? Fair enough. I can respect that, but I really like seeing like some of the new stuff that they are able to throw in, like, if That's anything fair. At all.
Yeah.
So, I mean, starting off with story, like, what are you thinking? Like, any story notes that you're dislike? Or?
There was one that, like, I'm just like, oh my god, I rolled my eyes at. And it was, it was at the end. Because, you know, Optimus Prime does his classic speech, you know, like, Optimus Prime, that's how you end a Transformers movie, is with Optimus Prime giving a monologue. But then they had to throw in
Noah's dialogue, dude.
Yeah, he got a freaking what do we call it? A monologue. And I was like, no. Human characters in this franchise do not get monologues. The only people that get monologues are Optimus Prime. That's it.
Not even that. Let's just say you do get a monologue. You don't get one after freaking Optimus Prime.
Yeah. No, Optimus Prime should be the last one.
Optimus Prime is never and will never be a freaking opener.
Exactly. That's a slap in the face to Peter Cullen if I've ever seen one.
Yeah, dude, like when I heard him say, like when he's like, I'm Noah Diaz.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm Noah Diaz. Dude, what the? No, Optimus Prime just finished speaking. You shut the hell up.
It's like, nope, we're not going to go that direction. We're just going to start rolling the credits now. Okay. Oh, my God. So, I did not like that. I really didn't like the freaking brother relationship. His little brother was freaking annoying, in my opinion. Like, when he's telling, oh, my God, what the hell is, the new Transformer in this one? That's voiced by
Mirage.
Pete Davidson. Mirage. He's like scolding and being like, no, you gotta take care of my brother. I'm not gonna be there. If I find out that anything happened to my brother, I'm gonna kick your ass, robot. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. You're gonna kick a Transformer's ass. Yeah, okay, kid.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
No, I felt like an asshole, but I couldn't help but think, I'm like, you can barely play video games without hurting your hand, dude. Which,
shit.
Like I said, I felt like a total asshole after thinking that, but...
Oh, dude. Yeah, just like... I will admit that, like, the human characters are, like, a little better than, like, some of the ones that were in previous Transformers movies, but not by that much. Like, I still like the one in the first one and Bumblebee way more than...
Yeah, I can definitely give you that. I mean, Transformers movies, like, I'll say this. I got out of this movie what I wanted to when it came to... Transformers.
I wanted more fighting.
More, you want more?
Yeah, I wanted more, I'll say.
I'll give you that. I think there was a lot of slow moments. But I like Noah, but I think the real focus should have been on Elena. I really liked Elena.
I agree. Yeah, I really liked her. I feel like she deserved it, especially all that she went with, helping the freaking Transformers with coding the passcode and everything. She deserved the spotlight over Noah, in my opinion. I feel she contributed way more than he did.
Ridiculously more, dude. Like, I don't know how you would have, like, naturally incorporated them both, but I really liked Elena. Like, I thought she was fun.
Yeah.
Like, I loved her, like, her just sly comments that she'd make, like, randomly. I'll say this. Her and Noah's chemistry was fantastic.
Yes, that, yeah.
Like, when they were just kind of, like, riffing off each other and...
Yeah. It was very sweet when they're first flying to Peru and he's like comforting because it's her first time flying. Or it's not only her first time flying, it's her first time. And just, you know, he's being like, oh, hey, you know, you talked about your granddad, you know, like, tell me more about it. Just, you know, I really appreciate.
Yeah. I really dug that. So, I mean, like you said, I cared about these human characters about as much as I did about, like, Sam Witwicky in the first. Like, I think there
I
are
still
kind
cared
of
about him a little more.
That's fair. I mean, we did get a little bit more time with him. But, I liked, even after rewatching him, I liked Noah and Elena more than I did Sam and Michaela.
I like Sam and Michaela more.
Fair. It's a close call. It is a ridiculously close call for me.
Yeah, I can definitely agree with that. It's a close call for me as well.
Yeah, so, I mean, the story overall, like, it wasn't half bad.
It wasn't. For a Transformers movie, it's actually pretty decent.
It made sense. Like, Elena did something to reveal, like, expose this instrument or this tool that the Transformers could have used to get back to Cybertron. Of course, they're, like, ready to jump on it.
Yeah.
So Optimus Prime calls everyone to meet up. Like, you get an introduction to these new Autobots and some, like, old friends with when it comes to Bumblebee. And, like, yeah, I dug all that. Like, I thought that worked really well. The motivations were there. I would love to know where this isn't in the Michael Bay universe, right? Like, is Bumblebee its own thing, or is it part of these movies?
I honestly have no idea, dude. They, when it comes to the preludes, or the prequels to the Bay Transformers movies, I have no idea if they're, like, actually, like, canon, and if that's, like, they actually are setting up those movies, because I don't know. I don't think this one does, because as far as I know, I think Bumblebee is, but this one is not, because as far as I know, the first time that Optimus Prime comes to Earth is not until after Bumblebee scopes out Earth, and then freaking all of the Autobots come in 2007.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
It seems like they've been there forever.
Yeah, so this one I don't think is canon, at least in that universe, but I think Bumblebee is.
Okay. I'll say this. I enjoy this new universe way more than I like the Michael Bay universe.
If I'm just looking at the first one, I definitely enjoy the Michael Bay version more. Can I just pretend that the first one and Bumblebee are the only movies that exist?
That might be a tough one to pull off, but up to you, I guess.
I'm just gonna go with that.
Yeah, I like all these movies. I'll say this, and this is just to make sure, like, everyone else understands. I put all these movies basically on the exact same level with each other.
Damn.
So
okay, I wouldn't.
Okay, so no, that's not true. Some of them were like absolute shit. So I'll say the first one, Bumblebee, and this one, probably on the same level. 2, 3, 4, and 5 are bottom of the freaking barrel for me.
I would actually put the first and Bumblebee above this movie. Like, not a decent amount, but, like, this one's on its own pedestal, and then Bumblebee and Transformers are definitely above it.
Yeah, it's close. It's a real close call. So, Where are you sitting with the story?
Like, for the most part, I enjoyed it. I will admit I did doze off a couple times, but I think that's just because I had a long ass work week.
Nope, that is not. I damn near dozed off too.
I'm like, really? Okay, so
there was
a
point
my job
where
then.
Yeah, there was a point where I'm like kind of like slipping, like nodding. And it was because of the freaking bullshit with Noah. I was just like, can we just freaking Transformer already?
That's what we came here to do. It's in the title of the movie.
Yeah, like, freaking taking forever, man.
So, I don't know, story-wise, I'd probably go a 70.
Ugh. I might be a tad lower than you.
Really? Damn.
Yeah, it didn't even crack that. Like, none of the none of the Transformer movies would crack 70 for me.
We're going to go back here, because the first one to me cracks like a 75. Bumblebee is like an 80 or 85. So, okay, I'm going to change my answer. 65. Final answer.
All right, I'm not quite that low then. I'm like a 68.
All right.
All right, next up we got writing. It was average as average can be. Obviously. But I'm giving freaking bonus points for whoever helped write Optimus Prime, dude. He had some kick-ass lines in this.
I can definitely agree with you on that one. And from the behind the scenes that I've seen, you can definitely tell that this is like one of the times that Peter Cullen had the most fun voicing Optimus Prime when it comes to these live-action movies. So that makes me very happy, because that man deserves everything. An unfortunate day that he passes. They better not put Optimus Prime in anything, because
I won't freaking watch anything else with if Optimus Prime is in it. If Peter Cullen is gone,
agreed.
But bro, he had some freaking killer lines.
He definitely did.
My favorite, my all-time favorite, is when they were hauling ass, like running away from Scourge, and stops like mid chase, and like freaking flips a Yui, does his Transformer thing and stops, and everyone's like, "Optimus, what are you?" And he's like, "I'm going to take his half of the key, and then I'm taking his head," and I'm like, "Yes,
so good, so."
Oh my gosh, dude, that scene where he like throws up his mask, or his face guard in the trailer, easily my favorite part. And when I noticed that part was came with the freaking most badass line I've ever heard come out of Optimus Prime's mouth, like I was beyond the moon. I was just like, kick his ass. That was my favorite. And then freaking Bumblebee, like when he he woke up and jumped out of the plane. I was freaking psyched, dude. This movie did so good at just like hyping you up.
Dude, freaking them blasting Don't Call It a Comeback was so canny, but I loved it.
Dude, it was, but it worked for freaking Bumblebee.
It really did. Yeah, it was perfect. It was absolutely perfect.
I freaking love that. But yeah, I mean, where you get like these freaking badass lines, on the other hand, you get some real shitty ones too. Like Noah's brother, his freaking dialogue at like trying to like motivate him, like you always push me to do my best, now it's my turn to do it for you. Shut up, kid. Like, he's already doing it. Like, yeah, dude, your job is done.
Shut the hell up, please.
It was a little campy and overdone, and
very much so.
I did not like it as much as I think they were intending.
Yeah, same here.
I will say this: I really like Mirage.
Yeah, I thought Pete Davidson was going to get annoying as a Transformer, but he actually did not. The writing was. So when it comes to like with this franchise, I feel like they always set out to have like a comedic Transformer, but they always end up being super annoying.
Yep.
Looking at you, Skids and Mudflap, and Transformers: Revenge of the Fallen.
Yep.
Don't get me started on those characters. Oh my.
And so who else? Dude, like literally, freaking Jazz from the first one. Like, there's always one.
Dude, freaking. You have no idea how happy it makes me, and I know I shouldn't be this way, when freaking Megatron grabs him in the first one, and Jazz is just like, do you want a piece of me? He's just like, no, I want two, and rips him in half. I'm like, thank you, Megatron, thank you.
Dude, outside of Optimus Prime and Bumblebee, Jazz was my favorite.
Really?
Oh, yeah, dude, so when he got ripped, I'm like, aw.
I was happy. Dude, yeah. Freaking... there is some Autobot deaths in this franchise, just really quickly, that I'm just like, you should have freaking... it should have been touched upon it more. Freaking when Ironhide dies in the third one, no one acknowledges it. I'm just like, okay, so one of the OG Autobots just died by Sentinel Prime, and y'all are just going to brush over it. Okay. All right, that's fine. That's cool.
Dude, that was one of the other ones that I really liked. Like, I...
oh, I love
my
Ironhide.
Favorite. I really liked Jazz, and then he got ripped in half. Then I liked Ironhide, then he kicked the bucket. And I was like, okay, like, I guess I really like Ratchet, too. And then he freaking gets the shit kicked out of him in Age of Extinction. I'm like, God damn it!
Seriously! They're just like, oh, well, you know, we gotta bring in all these new Autobots, so we gotta kill the OGs from the first movie. No, you don't. You don't have to kill them.
Yeah, you can just send them away somewhere. Like, I freaking hate when they do that, dude. It freaking pisses me off.
Yeah. I was telling Caleb that, you know, when we were watching these movies to lead up to this one, Barricade, you know, the police car from the first one of my favorite Decepticons, freaking love him. It is very clear that he dies in the third one. Barricade dies. And then all of a sudden, I watched the last night. Damn. I watched the last night, and lo and behold, Barricade's back. I'm like, how the hell is that happening? I look up. Apparently, Michael Bay was just like, oh, yeah, Barricade's going to come back in every other movie. Oh, okay, so we just making up rules now. Okay, that's cool. Freaking, I mean, if it's bullshit. Michael Bay, I'm not really surprised.
Yeah, he doesn't have a knack for storytelling.
He doesn't, and just the fact that freaking literally every single Decepticon in the first movie dies in the first one, I get it, you know, they're the Decepticons, they're the bad guys, but the fact that only Megatron dies. The fact that only Starscream and Barricade survive out of all of the Decepticons is freaking bullshit. I hate that they killed Blackout so much. Was one of the coolest Decepticons. I'm still irritated though. Bone Crusher though. I will never let go that they killed Bone Crusher even before they did the final fight. Like, don't get me wrong, the battle between him and Optimus was so badass, and him skating on the freeway.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, Baconate with a breakfast baconator. Roll with the sausage breakfast burrito. Buddy it up with a honey buddy. Or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes. And then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Was so bitchin', but no. They did my boy Bone Crusher dirt. But anyway, getting back to this one.
Yeah. What did you think of the... Of like Scourge and all those other guys?
They were all right. Like, decent. Like, honestly, they're some of the better bad guys that have come out of this franchise. If we're like not looking at, you know, like Megatron, Starscream, you know, those like OG bad guy Decepticons. So they weren't bad, but they were kind of a little forgettable for me. Like, Scourge looked really cool, but to me, he wasn't like super intimidating. I mean, he was, but I'm sorry to compare him to. He was definitely no Megatron when it comes to like the bad guy leader.
Right. And then it was kind of the same with Omnicron.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he made like a decent villain, I guess. Like, he kind of had like a Galactus vibe about him.
Dude, that's what I thought at first. I'm like, okay, are we just like straight up ripping off Marvel here?
Yeah.
But like I said, I don't know the Transformers franchise, so I didn't know that that's how it goes.
Yeah. I was kind of hoping that they were going to end up killing Omicron.
Yeah, that would have made more sense.
Yeah, like, that's what I thought would have happened. Like,
maybe I thought they're saving that for the sequel.
What I thought they were going to do was, obviously they were going to destroy the portal so everything gets sucked back into it. But I thought that they were going to set the key to detonate. And so, like, have Omicron, like, suck it in and then have, like, a portal open within Omicron and then it, like, just gets kind of sucked into himself. Like, that's kind of what I thought was going to happen, but...
That would have made sense to me. Lo and behold, that did not happen.
Yeah. Whatever. Like, it definitely feels like they're holding on to him as a villain.
Yeah, that is very true.
So, I mean, hopefully we get to see that later down the line. But like I said, it felt like he should have died too.
Yes, I can.
Like I said, the writing is like as average can get. Like, I don't even know if it'd be in the 75 range for me. The dialogue alone, I'd probably be in like the low 70s. But I'm given a couple bonus points for Optimus Prime being a complete badass.
Fair enough.
And then I'll also give another bonus point. The delivery on his lines were, like, I think him being a good Transformer was one of the biggest surprises of the year.
Yeah. Yeah, I can definitely agree with you on that one.
So I'm probably going to sit in total.
I'll match you on that one.
All right, next up we got acting. So going through the list real quick, we have Anthony Ramos, who played Noah Diaz, Dominique Fishback, who played Elena Wallace. We have, dude, where the hell are all the... Okay, here we go. They put all the voices at the end.
The hell?
Yeah, what kind of bullshit is that?
Yeah, seriously, that's some...
All right, let's see. So we got Peter Cullen, who voices Optimus Prime. Ron Perlman, who voices Optimus Primal. Peter Dinklage, who voices Scourge. Michelle Yao, who voices Air Razor. Pete Davidson, who voices Mirage. Liza Koshy, who voices RC. John DiMaggio.
No shit, that was Liza?
Yeah.
Holy shit. Wow.
For those of you that don't know, she from...
I would describe her.
The Days of Vine?
Wasn't she in a lot of Vines?
Oh, shit. I thought this was someone else. Yeah.
Yeah. Who'd you think it was?
Not her.
Oh.
Okay, that's wild. Yeah, that's super wild. Okay. Yeah, so she voiced RC. John DiMaggio played Transit and Stratosphere. David Sobolov played Rhinox, Battletrap, and Apelink. Michaela J. Rodriguez, who played Nightbird. Coleman Domingo voiced Unicron. Cristo Fernandez voiced Wheeljack. And Tongai Chirisa played Cheetor.
All right.
Yeah, so what's your top three?
Number three, I'll give to Ron Perlman, Optimus Primal. I honestly actually love his voice. But, I mean, that just proves he did a really good job voicing him. Number two, I'll give to Pete Davidson, played Mirage. I honestly was just be so freaking under in how he voiced him. Had a good time with him. But number one, I definitely got to get to Peter Cullen, Optimus Prime. Guy always blows it out of the water, Prime. That's why he's the GOAT.
Dude, like, I can't disagree with you. That's my top three, too.
Hell yeah.
Exactly the same reason. Like, I was thinking maybe throwing in Scourge as, like, a number three, but I think Pete Davidson was definitely like the biggest surprise.
Yes, agreed.
So, yeah, and then, yeah, you can't freaking beat Peter Cullen as Optimus Prime, especially with the freaking lines that they gave him, dude. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed.
Like, the lines that he had in this were just off the hook.
Seriously.
Like, I was going freaking nuts. Like, I want to see if there were any, like, any quotes that some people have, like, written down. So, here's one that I forgot. When Unicron was trying to ask Optimus not to destroy his... like the portal or whatever, and he's like, "Don't, Prime, I want." And then Optimus Prime's like, "Then die." I'm like, oh shit.
Yes. Like, so good.
Like, that line was chef's kiss, dude.
Agreed. Absolutely agreed. So great. So, so great.
Let's see. There, like, he had some funny ones too that were fun. Like, when Bumblebee was, using the radio to talk, and he's just like, "I don't want you going to that drive-in theater anymore."
So good. Oh my god. This was probably like one of the best adaptations through the radio throughout the whole franchise. So good.
I love Bumblebee talking through the radio, dude.
Same here. So much fun. I love it.
It's a blast. I like when... one scene that I thought could have easily been, like, over the top and just, like, overdone is when Mirage, like, when they meet Optimus Primal and Mirage comes out and he's just, like, trying to, like, threaten Primal, and he's like, "Stay away," and then Cheetor comes and, like, attacks him and, like, is, like, on top of him, and he's like, "Ah, stranger danger." Yeah, I thought that was a great freaking scene.
Yeah, dude.
So, yeah, I freaking loved that stuff. So, all right, where are you sitting for acting?
Even though, like, I'd say a solid 80.
Yeah, I'm a few points higher. I'm sitting at an 83.
Fair enough.
All right, next up we got character development.
Assuming we're...
yes.
Okay. Maybe it's just because I just didn't give a shit about the character. Not the greatest character development to me. Son that's trying to help his mom and help his brother. And, you know, he gets this opportunity. Takes it, you know, to help the Autobots. And then you see him struggling throughout, you know, if this is the right call. Yada yada yada. Honestly, everything works out for him. His family will be taking the G.I. Joe.
Oh my hell.
God. The G.I. Joe League, or whatever the hell it's called. So
I think they just call themselves the Joes.
God, that's even worse.
I know. Well,
I know it's how it is in the show.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I don't know if it is. Like,
I thought it was.
I'm going to look real quick, because I feel like that's not right. I'll be real. I always thought G.I. Joe was, like, a person.
That's what I thought, too. Yeah, I don't know what else to say about the character development. I don't know. I wasn't really that interested with Noah from the very beginning, and so while his character development isn't horrible throughout the whole movie, I guess it's interesting to see where he ends up towards the end of the movie. It didn't do it for me that much.
Yeah. It's hard to, like, figure out where he sits, because it's like, this was one, there was no growth in character. Yes. He's very, like, stationary, stale. Like, he's the same person from beginning to end. He's someone that's just constantly trying to take care of his family, and it just kind of never goes from there. It's kind of the same situation that, like they said, like Optimus Prime is like in the same boat. Like, he's so focused on protecting his family that he'll do whatever it takes, like, no matter what the consequence. And obviously they had some change of heart. So, I mean, there was some growth, but not anything super significant. So, I mean, with that, I would be around 74, maybe.
I can give you that.
All right, next up we got effects.
I would say for the most part, the Transformers looked pretty good. I do feel that in previous installments, they looked a little better. And maybe it's just because, I don't know, maybe it's just me. But Optimus Prime's, like, I appreciate the fan service that Optimus Prime, his truck actually looks like how it looks in, you know, the TV show and everything. But for some reason, maybe to me, when he transforms into it, it doesn't look as good CGI-wise to me as he does in, like, the first movie or the second movie when he's just, like, a big Mack truck that is transforming. Like, he still has, like, you know, like, the colors, but, you know, he's a Mack truck in those movies. In this one, you know, it's definitely, you know, fan service wanting him to look the show. I don't know what it is, but on how Optimus looks.
Ooh, we may be in disagreement there, because I prefer how he looks in this over how he does in the Michael Bay version.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, so, and yeah, this was just kind of... Yeah, so I rewatched all of the Transformers after I got out of Rise of the Beasts, other than the last night. But
yes,
all the other ones, like, he looked cool, like, don't get me wrong. But I'm a sucker for simplicity. And so the more simplistic design of Optimus worked really well for the character, at least in my opinion. Like, I liked how it worked a little bit. And yes, it was very fan service. And I'll say this, I do think that the faces of the Autobots were better in the Michael Bay version than this one. But I do prefer, like, the overall look. Like, I just don't like how the face moves. And so that's okay. Why I'm, like, super happy when he throws up his little faceplate. Because I'm like, all right, let's freaking go.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't know, maybe it's just because my first introduction to Optimus Prime was in the first movie. That's how Optimus Prime should look. So maybe that's why I don't love...
That was the first introduction for me, too. For Transformers.
So I guess, like, we're just different of how we feel about
them. Yeah, like I do have, like, a nostalgic view of that version of Optimus, and I think it looks super cool, like, in everything.
Yeah,
but it's just something I prefer, the, like, more simplistic.
No, dude,
I
completely get it.
What they did with Bumblebee, like, kind of dumbed him down a little bit.
I don't know, Bumblebee still looks like Bumblebee to me, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
I don't know, he still looked like classic B to me.
Yeah, I felt like they changed him up just, like, a little bit. But, yeah, I like what they did.
If there is one effect that I have to really complain about, though, it is that frickin' Transformer Iron Man suit that
oh my hell.
Noah gets. Dude, that might go down as, like, the worst CGI that I've seen so far this year, this year in general.
That was rough.
So bad.
Like, typically, at least, so when it came to, like, Spider-Man or, like, Banner being in the Hulkbuster, like, those scenes that, like, are obviously bad, it kind of takes me a second to, like, notice it.
Fair.
Like, it took me a few views before I was just like, yeah, something doesn't look right about those. But this was very, like, that looks like shit.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, it was so immediate. Like, as soon as he was, like, throwing on the mask, I'm just like, oh.
Oh, God.
Like, what is happening to your face, dude? And, yeah, it didn't help, like, once he threw over, like, the little glass part. I'm just like, dude, what the hell?
It's even worse.
It's even worse. I kind of, never mind. I was going to say, like, when I looked up the 89 G.I. Joe show, they have a picture of Cobra Commander in the back, and he kind of has, like, a similar vibe to how Noah's suit looked, and I'm like, dude, is Cobra Commander going to steal Noah's suit?
Oh, God.
But, I don't think that that's going to happen, but...
Okay.
It was not good. Not good at all.
It was not.
Yeah, I almost forgot about that. That was that was really bad. Everything else though, like, okay, it wasn't great CGI, but it was instant and I appreciate that.
I would definitely.
Yeah, so I mean, what are you thinking with effects?
Just because that suit, like, down a decent amount, I'm at, like, a 75.
Oh, damn. All right.
Yeah.
I mean, I can forgive the suit a little bit. So, I'm around being 82.
Yeah, you're way higher than I am.
Yeah, but, I mean, I understand your score. All right. Next up, we got music.
I mean, nothing really jaw-dropping. Like, nothing really stood out or anything.
Yeah, the only thing that, like, really stood out for me was when they started playing the Michael Bay theme.
Yes. I mean, I guess, like, when Bumblebee's jumping out of the plane, the Don't Call It a Comeback, that was cool. But, yeah, other than that, like, definitely.
Yeah. Honestly, like, I'm around a 7 with this.
I was thinking the same thing.
Like, I could maybe have gone up to an 8 for the Don't Call It a Comeback one, but I think that stopped, like, really quick.
It did, yeah. Didn't it, like, completely stop once he landed?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, all right, like, you cut it off at, like, at the good part.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So, like, I feel like they just could have kept the vibe going a little bit, and I think I probably would have been more inclined to give it an 8 immediately, but
yeah, I'm around a
7 with that one. All right, next up we got costumes or personal score. Or not personal.
I was like, wait.
Or character design. That's the word I was thinking of.
Overall, even though, like I said, I don't love the look of how Optimus Prime looks in this movie, I will say that I appreciate I really do appreciate that. For the most part, I loved how the Autobots looked. Bumblebee, you know, is great as always. RC, name?
Mirage.
Mirage, thank you. like, the Autobots looked pretty damn good. The Decepticons, not Decepticons, damn it, sorry. Scourge and his, people. Most of them were just generic, like, gray and black. Some had a little color in them, but mostly were just gray and black, which, honestly, I wasn't surprised and I wasn't even mad about, because of the bad guys are. That's usually their color scheme. And Optimus Primal and his teammates looked really good. Yeah, honestly, like, overall, I think the design...
Yeah, they weren't half bad. So where are you sitting with them?
I'm honestly probably at, like, an 8, but
I'm leaning more towards 9, and that's just because of the Autobots.
Done deal.
I mean, now that I'm thinking about it, like,
what?
I'm arguing with myself. Yeah. Sorry about that. I kind of jacked me
shit.
Up.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, what I was debating was dropping my costume score to an 8, and it's because of, like, just the other outfits, because I mean the Autobots aren't too prominent in there, so it's that mainly the, like, the human characters, and, like, yes, the Transformers look good, but it's just how big of a focus are they really? So I think I'm going to drop down to an 8. All right, last up, we got our own personal score, so what you thinking?
Honestly, overall, this is a pretty decent Transformers movie. It ranks in, I'd say, my top 3 of the franchise. Definitely is number 3, but That's not a bad thing, considering the others have been. This is definitely not the best franchise, but it does seem that it's starting to see some light, not only with this movie, but with Bumblebee. And that does make me happy. If they do decide to go the direction that they're going with, it seems, you know, like with not only Transformers, but with G.I. Joe, I don't know if I'm that excited for it. But I guess we'll see. But I mean, I'm always down to see just robots beat the shit out of each other. It's what you come to these movies. This movie definitely delivers with that. But the human characters, while not the worst in this franchise, they're definitely not the best in my opinion. But the story with the Autobots and, you know, what needs to happen for them to return to Cybertron and, you know, everything else, with Optimus Primal and his teammates and just all of that with Surge, it's not bad. It's a decent Transformer story. And it's definitely one of the better ones that we've gotten in recent. So overall, I did have a good time. It's definitely not my favorite Transformer, but it is definitely not. So I'm gonna go 72.
Yeah, I mean, I had a good time with this movie too. It's, Transformer movies just kind of did, at least
same,
not like they used to. And that doesn't mean it's a bad movie or anything. It's just not what gets me going. I'd rather go movie that makes me think, or just kind of more or less gives me something bigger than just robots fighting. Like, it's kind of the same situation I have with the Fast and Furious movies. They're okay if I watch them for the most part, but I'm going to be very judgmental because they're stupid stories. So it's real tough. It's a real weird relationship that I have. But like I said, I had more fun with this than I have with other Transformers movies since forever. I mean, Bumblebee's being the exception, but I haven't had a time like this since the first. Again, not counting Bumblebee. So, I might be a little bit lower than you. I'm probably going to give it a 6.
Really? Damn.
Yeah,
man.
I mean, it was all right.
Blow me out of the water.
It just didn't
I'm
do
thinking
it for
that
me.
I'm being harsh. No, it didn't do it for me either, man. And I thought I was being harsh here.
Nope, that you are not.
Damn. All right.
All right, well, that wraps up this week's breakdown. So, going through the categories real quick. Starting off with story, we have a 66.5. Writing was up a little bit, sitting at a 73. Acting was even was higher than that, sitting at an 81.5, and I think that's our highest category is the acting. Character development took a bit of a dive, slightly above writing, sitting at a 74. The effects are sitting at a 78.5. The music is sitting at a 7. Costumes sitting at an 8. And then our personal score ended up averaging out to a 70.5. So with that, the final Allbros letter grade for Transformers Rise of the Beasts has come out to a C+.
Okay.
Yeah, that not bad. Ooh, it barely made a C+, though.
C.
It was 0.12 above our C+ cutoff. So it ended up getting a 76.12. Yeah, so I mean, it's close. It's real freaking close.
No kidding, damn.
Yeah, so like we said, it's got a C+. So, oh damn.
Oh shit, don't have a lot of C pluses?
No, it's the bottom of our C pluses.
That's funny.
Yeah, so Transformers Rise of the Beasts is sitting at a 76.125, which puts it at the bottom of our C plus category. So that puts it below Stone Cold, which is at a 76.5. It is below Paws of Fury, The Legend of Hank, which is at a 76.5. It is below Cocaine Bear, which is at a 76.75.
Wow.
It is also below Unhinged, which is at a 76.87. And then finally, it is below The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard, which is 0.91.
Damn.
Yeah, real freaking close margins. Going the opposite direction, it puts it above My Spy, which is at a 75.87. It is above the 2022 Cheaper by the Dozen, which is at a 75.56. It is above The Addams Family, which is at a 75.45. It is also above Ant-Man and the Wasp, which is at a 75.33. And then finally, it is above Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker, which is at a 75.3.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I actually disagree with that because I enjoyed that one more than this.
Well, apparently not.
Apparently that's some bullshit.
I actually dig where this is at.
All right, fair enough.
So, yeah.
All right, well, unless you've got anything else to add. Okay, well then, I would say that concludes this episode. If you like what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to follow and Apple Podcasts, Google iHeartRadio, or you can catch our episode for a listening platform. If you want to follow us on social media, DM us with an episode idea, or answer our question of the week, or give us a movie recommendation you want us to do a mini breakdown of, you can do so. We got Facebook for facebook.com/TheAllBros, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at TheAllBros. You can check out our website at tinyurl.com/TheAllBros, or you can go check out our merch store, which is at tpublic.com/. Next week on the podcast, with Flash. So that's going to be exciting. Definitely excited to see.
Oh, yeah. Them. And I'm Caleb.
And we'll see you guys next week. So long.
Deuces.
This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9/1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.